Oh yes, brother. Tabarnak. We made it.
We did it.
Paul Balouyant.
Yeah.
Remember the first time I said that to you, man? You were not happy, yeah?
No. It's just I've heard everything.
Because for me, it's Balouyant, you know?
Yeah.
How you pronounce your last name?
Balouyant.
Balouyant. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Paul
Balouyant.
Balouyant. Welcome to No BS with SB, man.
Thank you.
You know how many times I asked you to come?
Yeah, I know. It's been last
because time. I want you. You're amazing. You have a great story. But Mr. decide to...
Get married.
Get married.
Yeah. So.
You have a beautiful life. And you say, you know what? Let's screw that.
Yeah.
Comedian, it's not enough.
Let's screw it up. It wasn't my decision entirely.
But it was a family decision. Like.
Yeah.
Because in your... you're Filipino?
Yeah. Filipino, yeah.
It's very important to get married?
It wasn't like family pressure or anything like that. It was more me...
Proud?
No, it's my... I asked my, now my wife, 2 years ago, I was like, oh, we went to a wedding and my friend had a kid. She was like 4 years old and she was the flower girl. So we were at the wedding and I was like, hey, that'll probably be like us. Like, we'll probably have a kid before getting married. And she was like, no, I don't want to do that. She was like, because I was told her, like, we write our own horoscopes in life. So I was like, if this was your situation, how would you want it to be? She's like, I would want to get married, and then I want to have a kid. And it was important for her.
You don't think it's stir enough when you plans that?
No, I
don't like to plan something, you know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to get married in 2 years, and in 3 years, I'm going to have a kid.
Yeah, No?
You like that? You like to know where you go?
I used to not.
Okay.
And then I learned that, like, I like it.
Okay.
You know, like, now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, I like knowing a little bit where I'm headed.
So it's not your decision, but is it something you want?
Yeah.
Or you did that? For your wife,
I wanted it.
So you went, you were inside the project during the wedding.
Yeah, maybe. And then she was the one who was like, "Okay, let's organize this." So then we organized together.
How many people was at the wedding?
160.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but it was very very easy. So I've been emceeing in weddings for like the first time I did it, I was 15. And now I'm 37, so I've probably done like 30 or 40 weddings.
Okay, so it's fun you say that because you never start comedian. You start to do wedding before comedy.
Yeah, I did weddings before.
Wow.
Before doing
okay,
comedy.
So let's go there. So are you born in Montreal? Are you born in?
Born in Montreal. Born in the East End, Saint Leonard.
And your family was there up too, or they immigrate?
So my mom. My dad came here in 1972, and my sister was already born in the Philippines. And then 3 years later, so my dad moved from very hot Philippines to northern Manitoba. He worked in the copper mines for 3 years.
What is the reason why you moved?
So my aunt was, so during that time, like the 1970s, Montreal and Canada, they didn't have... people who wanted to do work here pretty much. So they were like, let's get immigrants to come.
Sounds
and do
so
work.
Racist if I say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But from you, it's normal.
No, it made sense.
No, you're right. So nobody wants to work.
Nurses, teachers, all of those, you know, they were coming here. So my aunt came here from the Philippines, my dad's like older sister, and then she convinced my dad, yo, come to Canada. And then my dad, he said he got off the plane.
Oh.
And had to walk from like the plane to a bus, and it was minus I think like 40 or something.
And he was not prepared.
No, he's like he put on all of the clothes that he had, and then all of them froze before he made it to the building, and that's the first experience in Canada. Yeah.
Wow. And now did you talk about that? And if, after that, like, if at the time he said it's the worst decision I made.
No, because he knew. That he was going to make money. So they told him, you know, he had the job and everything. So he knew that he was going to be able to afford to bring my mom and my sister here because
Okay, so you have one sister. Poor, you have a brother.
I have two brothers and a sister.
Okay, so are you the youngest or the oldest or the
middle? I'm like the middle.
Okay, yeah. So why you need so much attention in life?
Because you're a middle kid. I think like my older brother, you know, he got attention because he was like cool and stuff. Then my younger brother, he had like some medical problems when he was a kid, so he got attention. And then there was me in between the two brothers.
You felt like you were not in the good position in the hierarchy of kids.
Yeah, but I just learned. Not that I was.
Remember how old are you when you said I need attention?
Yeah, I was like 4 years old.
Wow.
And I love Michael Jackson.
You still love Michael Jackson?
His music, yeah, I love Michael Jackson music. Okay. Yes, you know, but
so at 4 years old,
yeah, at 4 years old, I love Michael Jackson. Yeah, exactly. He'd love me back. So it'd be good. But I remember having a leather jacket and doing the moonwalk and singing like Michael Jackson when I was a little kid, and I was like, oh, this attention thing, I like it.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was always like, I was also. But that was at home, you know, like...
No, I know, I sing in front of the Christmas tree, in front of my family, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what is that? Why, when everybody watch me, I feel different, you know? Like you know, when did you have a fight in your life? You know, somebody want to fight, you know, and it's everything changed, right? You know?
Yeah, you're faced with your own, like, wow, something can happen.
The adrenaline, the stress, the wow, everybody, and when they clap you, no matter if you suck, but, you know, they encourage you when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I know, I want that.
I like
so
that.
So you already know at 4 years old.
Yeah.
You don't know you're going to be a comedian, but you know you need that.
Yeah, I've never experienced that, you know, like, so I was like, wow.
Yeah. So, and your family,
yeah,
comedian, it's nothing. Eh? Does it mean anything? Eh?
No. They I think that my family knew that I was gonna do something
really
in front of people. Yeah.
Then they not force you to do a noble job.
Yeah, they wanted. My mom wanted me to be like. She wanted me to work in computers or like be a nurse or something like that. That's what they just. They're always gonna.
They talk about that at you.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
sit you like, okay, kids.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Wow. Absolutely.
And it took my mom maybe like two. My dad right away. He was like, "Yeah, you're gonna do comedy. Yeah, I get it."
Okay.
And my mom was like, "No."
And so then, now with the time now, because now you're good, and they saw you.
Yeah.
They appreciate, they respect that now, or they still say, it's fun. You're funny, but
yeah,
computer.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah. I'm like, no, I'm shitty at computers.
So did you try to prove you're a good comedian to your parents? You always like, I don't care what they think.
Yeah, I don't think I cared.
Yeah.
You know, but I do, but like I knew that in the long run, like my dad was very like, whatever you do, you're gonna be.
We're gonna be there for you.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't care if you lost one kid.
Yeah,
we have three already who are good. Huh? So what they do?
It's a balance up.
What they do? You're the other kids.
My sister's been a nurse for like 25 years.
The other two.
My brother. My older brother, he like works a job at Mercedes-Benz, and like he has two kids, and like he's like super dad. And then there's me and my younger brother. He works in video editing. And,
okay, not bad.
And he, you know, both of us maintain like bar jobs and like.
But you're gonna be the next one because you just get
married.
You,
married
you have kids project.
Like a kid. Like,
you have kid project kids in your life. You want kids?
Yeah.
So you know this gonna screw.
The comedy?
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Are you scared about that?
You know what? I don't see it as screwing the comedy.
You want to quit?
No. I don't think I'd ever be able to quit.
No, I know, but...
But with the kids, I think that it would add to the comedy.
Okay. So you said, no, I think it's going to give me more opportunity
To
write stuff. And maybe, like, work harder because now you have a reason to not smoke a weed.
All day
and they waiting like a date.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the phone's gonna ring someday, you know, because
Be
honest, you know, why we choose to be a comedian first is because we are lazy.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean
it's
we
like
are...
like lazy narcissism.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're not a work addict.
Yeah.
It's just not same stress. You know, some people who work 9 to 5, they are stressed 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Us, it's 1 hour, depends where you are, like if you middle,
if
you... It's because...
showtime.
People said, are you more stressed when you do 1 hour than 5 minutes? No, it's the same stress.
Yeah.
The stress is when I go on stage. After that, if I do 5, 15 on 1 hour, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have to perform 1 hour, you have to be very good, and it's a lot of, it's more stress.
Yeah.
In a sense that you demand on your body. But you, I never understand why you don't do corporate, because you're clean.
Yeah, I'm relatively clean.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't like to do corporate?
No, I do like corporate stuff.
Yeah, but you know,
I don't push like. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm lazy and a narcissist.
Okay, so let's go there. Okay, so you, Michael Jackson, 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, you have something. So when did you start to understand, like, I need to do, I need to go on stage and to be a comedian? Is it somebody who said, hey, you're funny, you should do comedy?
No, you know what it was? So I was really like a quiet kid in school, but I'd go home and I'd be like, ah! I played sports, basketball, like, attention right away. I was good at basketball.
Not bullying?
No.
Not bullying at school?
No.
Wow.
No.
So you are strong.
Yeah.
You did not let other kids.
No, people didn't really bother me. I also had an older brother that if anyone did. My older brother, yeah.
This helped a lot.
Yeah, yeah. My brother, older brother was like the cool guy.
Yeah,
like,
so it's, yeah.
If anyone would fuck around.
And you can do more.
Yeah.
Because you know you have somebody else behind.
Exactly. But also I made friends easy and like had a big group. I have the same group of friends now from when I was like a little kid. From when I was like 5, 6 years old in school. It's like same guys that I still hang out with.
Yeah.
So we're like a really like tight-knit group. And I was good at sports, so people kind of like didn't really fuck with me.
So why sport arrive in your life? Is it because your brother do sport too?
Yeah.
So the person who you want to impress was not your mother or your father; it was your big brother.
Yeah. Who was like, I want to be and do all the shit that he does.
Wow.
So that's where I first got that taste of like, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd go play at like tournaments and stuff, and everyone would be like, wow, you're really good, and you know, shake my hand, and like other parents were like, yeah, you know, when they see me. So I think that's where I got that first taste of like,
yeah,
you know.
But see, let's go there. Is it in high school, you know, you wanted to be a comedian? It's after
it was high
school.
It was high school.
So what did you do? Improv,
public speaking. So when I was 14 years old, I wrote a speech called Why Men Have Nipples.
Why Men Have Nipples.
When I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And that was... And I just wrote it. I interviewed teachers and I put, you know, like my own spin on it. And
yeah.
It was just funny. It was punchy. Okay. You know?
You wrote that by yourself?
Yeah.
Alone? Not with you. Okay.
And for the speech,
yeah,
for
because
the public
speaking. Every time you have to go in front of the other kids,
yeah,
and you already, so you went first.
Yeah, I think so. No, it was like, no. So that speech, that's what happened. Was like I'd always enjoyed doing the public speaking. I'd get nervous the same way that I get nervous to do stand up. That was a thing like right away where I was like, oh.
So,
but then in front of them, I would always like go from a quiet person to like. Come to life.
Wow.
So my teachers were like, wow. And then I realized that I could just be funny.
Oh, so she gave you a great note?
Yeah. Like teachers were like, you're funny. Like, you should just...
Wow. You know? How old are you?
This was like elementary school.
Wow.
When they told me that. My principal, I remember, he asked me at the graduation to just say a speech. So I made fun of like the principal, like, because he would tell a joke every morning. So I was like, oh, this guy and his stupid jokes every morning. And everyone's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, like a 12-year-old kid. Like, you know, so that's where I learned it.
Because you feel so fragile.
Yeah.
You're fragile.
But it's like fragile, but then in front of everyone.
I know.
It was like, whoa.
Wow.
But it's even like being like fragile
and
in front
I'm
of people.
Sure you were, not you're not cute anymore.
Yeah.
But you were, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
A cute kid, yeah.
No, because...
I had like big Harry Potter glasses.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
I had a mushroom
in a cut, fragile, skinny. But you know, when you talk, you see you talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was it from when I was young. And then through high school, like public speaking, I emceed the variety shows and like girls would leave notes in my lockers. So I think that's the beast that I'm chasing now. Like that kid from before who like could just never do any wrong in front of people. And I still feel like that sometimes too, you know, like doing sets and stuff like that.
Do you know why you're so comfortable on stage?
I don't know. I think it's that it's uncomfortable on stage. I think that I'm comfortable with how uncomfortable it is.
I get that.
It's like comfortable being uncomfortable.
You like to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I realize.
And the only reason why you do comedy is because they make you uncomfortable. But I think.
But it's uncomfortable. No, but you're right. It's uncomfortable for everyone. But I'm the one who's like, I know I'm standing in the opposite room.
You don't sweat. You don't stress.
Yeah.
You don't freeze. You don't froze. You don't forget your stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why did you get that? Did you learn on television? Did you watch a lot of television? Because at that time we don't have internet.
Yeah.
So how did you get cool like that? Is it because you're lucky? Is it because
I think so.
You know what I mean? Because you never stress, man. You know what I mean? It's pissed me off, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never stress. You never sweat. You never you never get a bad set. Mm-hmm. Or if you have a bad set, it's not your fault. It's, yeah. You know what I mean? See, but at the same time, it's like I feel like you don't push yourself enough.
Yeah.
I think you're comfortable where you are.
I'm like
right?
In between, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, I said that you should be an
engineer. Do corporate stuff,
45, 1 hour like that.
Yeah.
Is it a choice?
I think so.
You know what I mean? It's why I said, oh, you get married. you know, it's true. You know that.
Yeah.
Listen, I have a girlfriend. And I saw your wife. She encouraged you a lot.
Yeah.
She's proud of you. I did a show last year. And she was there.
Yeah, with the nurses and stuff.
And she just talked about you all the time. Like, it was, what a turn off, you know? You know what I mean? She loved you. She believed in you. And this is great. This is why you marry her, because this when you have that, you know, it's sky's the limit. Though.
Yeah.
Because when you're a comedian, it's rare to find this kind of girl.
Yeah.
Because we are never sure. Never know, you know, if the money's going to arrive, if we're going to kill. You know what I mean? We are so complex, like you said, narcissistic.
Yeah.
Everything's around us, you know.
And but you see, those are the things that cause people to panic. I don't panic. Maybe...
You never panic? Do you remember panic one time on stage?
I remember, like, when I was talking about those people in the audience there. About a set, like, I left 2 minutes early.
Yeah.
I never leave 2 minutes early.
Yeah.
But I wanted to kick the guy in the head.
Wow.
But, like, I'm very, like, I'm an even-keeled person. And I've learned to just deal with stress. I think doing stand-up all the time, when other things, you get into these stressful situations, I'm like, this doesn't stress me out.
Do you have a great day job?
I have a good day job. Yeah,
like,
where I make a good amount of money with a little amount of time when I'm there.
So is it because of that?
Because of that, I also I meditate 30 minutes a day. I exercise regularly and I eat well.
You said three things I don't do. Fuck. Maybe it's why I sweat this.
No, but I don't. You know, like I'm.
What do you eat in general?
In general,
do you eat?
I eat a lot of meat. I eat a lot of food. I love fried food. But I cook all the time.
Ah.
I'm someone who like I love to cook.
Yeah, I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, the Philippine food.
But even like I've worked in restaurants for 20 years, so I've seen things and I ask questions, and I'm very into like making food and like. Groups of people.
But so you're not the cook in life, though.
No, it's for fun. Yeah, it's for fun because I just enjoy doing it. You know, and I feel like all of the healthy stuff in my life, it is together.
Is it personal?
37 years
old. Okay, because you don't look like that.
Yeah.
And it's because you eat well.
Yeah.
Imagine if I eat well, people would think I'm 20 years old. About like.
But it's like stress too, you know?
I know, it's because you're not nervous on stage, you're comfortable, but you still you still have something.
But I'm nervous before going on stage?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's normal, it's why...
Hours before, I'm very OCD, you know? Like.
Imagine not nervous?
Yeah.
Who will stop to do
that? Yeah, why would I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take the subway, not nervous. I make a coffee, not nervous, you know? It's the drive... To go there,
yeah,
and know you can bomb, you can have somebody go on stage
yeah,
a heckler,
yeah,
you know what I mean. So when did you know you were born for that? Because high school, you speak, yeah, but it was not funny though.
It was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah. I would write specific, like, all of my public speaking would be to be funny.
Really?
Even I did, like,
so you have a talent already of writing?
Of writing jokes.
Wow.
Early. And that's when I was like, wow, this, you know, like, I would just write these speeches and people would just laugh at my speeches. Maybe it's because I would go up and pretend like I don't care.
Yeah. No, man, I know,
but you know, like.
But you know, it's, I did clown mascot, you know, when you're young.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
I think it's important what you did, but to go in a comedy club, write stuff, realize that, oh, okay,
yeah,
it's a job.
Yeah.
When is your first time you did a show?
First time.
Remember
I did a show?
First,
yeah,
show?
Yeah, first show at the Comedy Works.
Yes, it's sad,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It burned.
Yeah, it burned down. Yeah, it was sad. Very sad.
About what?
That was the only place where I felt like, yo, I could just, if I have 20 minutes, I cannot write any jokes, go up and be funny for 20 minutes, and then I'll have a bunch of jokes that I'll write on stage, like live in front of people.
You are comfortable like that?
At the Comedy Works, hosting on like,
okay,
a Monday night.
Not at the Nest?
The Nest, I feel like the Nest is like, you go in and you work, you know, and then, you know, you pepper in new stuff. Like, I was there, I did 15 minutes yesterday.
Why?
It's different. It's a different atmosphere.
What? Yeah, it's because of the setup of the place.
The comfort level of the audience.
Yeah, because it's so cold,
yeah,
at the Nest, because the floor, the
big,
the
ceiling.
Yeah. It's, and it's, the Comedy Works, it's a small box.
Yeah, low ceilings.
You put 20
like
people.
Cigarettes. Yeah.
You have, yeah, it's like the New York style.
Yeah.
Now it smells smoke a lot.
Yeah, a little too much.
So already when you arrived there, you feel like it was your home. Remember the year?
I remember. Oh man, that must have been like 2003.
First show in comedy, 2003. So
going up at the Comedy, that's
16 years.
Years, yeah.
Wow.
And because Rodney and my other friend,
20 years old.
Yeah, I was like 20 something.
Wow, I didn't know. I thought you were in the Comedy 7 years.
No, so I did that, and then like I didn't.
Oh no, let's go there.
Yeah, okay, so
you,
yeah,
did that.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I did that.
No, you book an email to Jimbo, or
yeah,
you,
no,
call.
You call. Yeah. You would call every
Monday,
Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah, you'd call Saturday and then Sunday he would reply to you.
Okay.
And he was like my comedy dad that I was, oh, I need your approval, Jimbo, you know?
Okay, let's go there after, okay?
Yeah.
So you call, he call you back, you have a spot for the Monday.
Yeah.
What is the day for you at the Sunday? How did you feel?
Like, no, nervous. Yeah, I can't eat, I can't sleep, you know? I was like super nervous. I got a bunch of my friends to come. And it was because of the fear of doing it and feeling like there's something to prove. I think that it took years for me to actually write jokes that I knew that other people would like. I would always try to like write like shocking jokes.
Okay, when you start?
Yeah. You know, and I was
why?
Always trying to. I think that it's just ego. I think like your ego, like I needed to work through my own ego. Like I felt like the Comedy Works and going up on stage is such a big deal that you need to prove something all the time.
Yeah, it's true, but at the, yeah, same time, the first one, it's you.
Yeah, it is.
So
but I'm also,
you did not wrote joke you like it. You did. You wrote,
no, I did. I wrote jokes that I liked for me, but I knew that would make people in the,
okay,
audience uncomfortable.
So you have the gig. You have the gig.
Yeah.
You do you have a? Did you wrote something?
Yeah.
The Sunday night.
I did. I had stuff written. Stuff written like that time. I remember the movie that came out was 8 Mile.
With
Eminem.
Yes.
And I wrote a joke about how, like, coming to the Comedy Works, I had to freestyle battle everyone. Like, I had to freestyle battle at the grocery store to get my groceries. And then freestyle battle to get a parking spot. And I wrote, like, jokes, but the jokes were, like, mean and, like, you know, I talked about like handicapped people and homeless. You know.
Yeah,
I
but at the same time, nobody care because it's your first show.
Yeah, it's the first
show. But you have already. So you know, a lot of people, they are so cocky. They said, "I don't need jokes.
I'm just funny.
I'm funny
yeah.
and go outside and they bomb." You know.
Yeah.
But you wrote something, so you're already real sick.
Yeah.
About this job, the okay, and you know you're comfortable in any way.
Yeah.
So do you remember where you were in the lineup?
I think I was somewhere later in the show, and I was super nervous. Okay. So I was just like,
trying not to drink too much. How many beer you drink?
I don't even remember. I think it was like maybe like three
pints.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who host? Remember who host?
Mike Patterson.
Whoa! Shout out to Mike Patterson.
Mike Patterson with a cowboy hat. Like a bandana, and he was on TV at that time.
Wow. So for you, it's big.
Yeah, it was big. Yeah.
So you're late. So like, you mean like you're 10 of 11?
And I think they knew that I brought people to.
Ah, so you like, brought that many people? I brought
maybe like eight people. Yeah.
This is the mistake we always do.
I know.
why? How to bomb in front of people they respect you, you know?
Yeah.
No, did you bomb, by the way?
No.
No? When I mean bomb, it's like, no, when you get out of the stage, nobody did that.
No, so I remember it was like, I did that same set again. Jimbo told me, he was like,
no, ta.
Okay.
Because you go on stage.
And I did.
When he presents you, Paul Baluyao.
Yeah. And he got it right.
Remember the feeling?
Yeah. You know, it's not the same
than at the school.
No,
huh?
No. It's the fight or flight. You know, like you feel it, the tingling in your hands. I wanted to throw up. I was like, I want to throw up.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to throw up.
When he say your name?
No, when I got to the club, yes. I wanted to throw up.
Okay.
Right away. So that feeling followed me for the whole like eight acts that were before me. So I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I could do this. You know, and you go through everything. You're like doubt, all these fears.
No, I mean, it's still there, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
Less like art, loud. You suck, you don't. I know it's not true, you know. But when at the time, you suck, why you're here, you look at the amazing comic, why you...
You're going to die, like, you have all these irrational fears of what's going to happen.
So you say your name, you walk.
Yeah.
Go take the mic, remember?
Yeah, I took
the
mic.
You took the mic or you just stay front of?
I took the mic. I also, at this point, I remember taking the mic out and I remember being like, thank you, guy that I remember from television. I said that about Mike. So Mike's like, and then everyone in the audience was like, oh, so I was like, okay, it's kind of a reaction that I get right away. And then
the crowd, the people you bring?
Yeah, yeah.
So you saw everything?
Yeah.
The spot is art, but you still...
But, so, to backtrack before that, I was going up there with two of my friends, so Rodney Ramsey and Kwesi Thomas.
Oh, so it's a big help.
And those guys at this point have been doing stand-up for like 3 or 4 months.
So they encourage you.
You're not alone. But me and Kwesi, we were hosting shows at John Abbott in the Agora. So we hosted shows for like 400 people there. It was like a dance competition and yada yada. So I remember writing jokes for there. So at that point, I was like, okay, and they're telling me jokes and we're writing jokes back and forth. So that was my help to give me that confidence that night, because I knew that those guys were in the room too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so like they were encouraging me. So I had comics encourage and the people there.
Exactly.
So it made me comfortable, you know.
Yeah, if you prepare and you're not bombing, the eight people help to make laugh the other one.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
you work well.
Yeah.
About, you know, you did not arrive at Hamarat
with nothing. Yeah, exactly.
So you did. Did you see the red light?
Yeah.
So everything was great for you.
Everything was great.
So when you get out of the stage, did you say, "I'm born for that"?
Yeah, I was like, "I'm Dave Chappelle." That's what I remember
of
thinking.
The Filipino?
Like, yeah, I was like, why couldn't I be like a Filipino Dave Chappelle? And I remember that feeling too, because at that point I was like, oh, you know, on top of the world.
Wow. This is very generous what you said, you know, because my concept is to be honest. It's why I said no BS with this.
Yeah.
And then you this is raw. Like you said, I you knew at the time I'm going to be the next.
Yeah, that's the amazing amount of confidence.
Oh, wow. Do you still believe that? No, but this is my. No?
But it's hilarious, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But why you don't believe that anymore?
Because I'm a lot more realistic. Just about things, especially with like
is it realistic or is it because you know the artwork you have to do to be Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, and I know the ideas of timing, and I also know the things that make me happy, you know, and I you know, I still spend like, you know, I do Absolute twice a year, so I'll still spend like maybe like eight or ten weeks like just alone in a in like a condo with another comic that you never met before. And you know, I've thought about being on tour for 50 weeks out of a year, and I'm like, wow, this would be super depressing.
Oh yeah.
You know, like life on the road and stuff like that. That's what I've learned over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna. And then I was like, no, I don't think that that's something that I'd want to do. And that's part of his life, and you know.
Exactly. Yeah, because he made a choice, but he doesn't need to tour.
Yeah.
You could stay in New York or LA and chill there.
Yeah, but you make the choice, right?
Exactly. Everybody make the choice that. No matter what is your goal, it's not my goal.
Yeah.
So it's not important. It's not. I don't. You don't. Your goal. It's your goal. You know what I mean. So. But at the time, your goal was to be him. Because you said I'm
going. It was that on stage. It wasn't like a life.
It was just a thought.
Yeah, it was
like,
a thought.
I'm the next Dave Chappelle, but after that, he said, "Oh, maybe not." You know.
No, but it wasn't even like a success. It was like a on stage being funny. That's how funny I felt.
Okay.
You know, I was
okay,
like, "Wow."
Did you record it?
I think I remember.
Did you rewatch it? Then we said,
no.
"Oh, it's no."
No, at that time, I didn't have a recorder, or anything like that.
So you drink more beer after, right?
Yeah. But that's it. That's how you felt at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember, so after that
exactly,
set,
yeah.
After the set, I'm at the back of the room, and it's Jimbo, you know,
he was like,
you have good stage presence. He's like, you need to take your jokes, though. He's like, shock value is great, but you need to write jokes to be on David Letterman or Jay Leno. That's what you need to write the jokes for. And I was like, who's this old guy telling me what to do?
In the corner, in the dark.
I want to talk about, like, I had
this... So you didn't know it was the owner?
No, I didn't know he was the owner, but I was like, you know, like, I didn't take it seriously. You know?
Why?
What he said.
Oh, because you're cocky.
Because I was cocky.
Yeah. It's everybody do that, like, yeah.
But then fast forward, like, he gives me another set.
So, because it was not your joke?
Hmm?
He said you have to write your joke.
No, because my jokes were like gross and like.
Oh yeah, it was not.
You know, yeah, I was talking about like.
I don't understand why right away he told you that. You know, it's your first show. You just say, you know, enjoy.
Yeah, good.
But maybe later.
Yeah.
Because who cares? It's impossible. You understand?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you said, who are you?
Yeah.
Go on stage and see. good luck, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, what the next show? How was the next show? Remember your next show?
Yeah, I do remember the next show a lot.
A lot of people remember.
Yo, it's the humility. It's the one that humbles you. You know, because like I, feeling like I'm the fucking best in the world, I take that exact same set.
Yeah.
And then I try to do it again in front of not my friends.
Yeah.
And not... And
Mike Patterson, he's on television.
No. And then
remember where it was?
That was the Comedy Works again.
Okay.
So I waited for the Comedy Works again, and I went and I watched open mics and I watched everyone do well, and then I came back and I was like, okay, now's my time. And like, I remember afterwards, it was just like bombing.
So when you know that first joke
right away joke? First joke, I had this. Joke about like going to like
is it the same set?
Yeah, it was the same set, and I opened with this joke about like how everyone in the world should be able to have a handicapped person as a pet. And it was like it's like imagine picking, I'm sorry about my language, this is early, but I was like, imagine picking that one retard out of the tard bin and watching his face light up as the cashier passes him over the scanner. You know, so like the boop, and put him in a basket. Okay. And the audience was like,
No.
And then I go into the freestyle about how I had to freestyle for the kid, and after...
So you did not assume the joke?
No, but...
Because when you saw the reaction, he said...
I just kept going.
He said, wow.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't. So instead of like now, if something doesn't go well now, I'm very in the moment. But back then, you know, like I was so scared, so I just went through my whole set as fast as possible.
You die.
You're trying,
Try to come back.
The worst thing to watch when someone's bombing is trying not to bomb. You know?
I know, man. Wow.
So after that...
This is beautiful, by the way. Are you a poet? No, make it repeat that. It's very important.
But it's true. Yeah, like... Watching someone, the hardest thing to watch is watching someone trying.
Oh, it's fun. Oh, the fun part.
It's fun, yeah. Especially when it's like a hero.
Me, I have too much empathy, you know. Like if I saw somebody I like and he bombed, you know, so many reasons. Like, if the guy is a professional and he bombed, I don't care because I know he tried joke. And he's a pro, he tried joke. I don't care. If I saw a cocky guy who
bomb?
Said, I enjoy it.
Yo, I know all of those comics in the back of the room love me dying.
Because they know you're cocky at the time?
Well, I mean, it was my second set, and some of them saw me do well my first set. So even Jimbo was just like, afterwards, like, said nothing to me, you know? He didn't even.
So now you start to respect this guy.
Yeah, now I was like,
So what he said to you after this show? Did he say something?
After this show, nothing.
Nothing. So and then he said everything.
And I did
because he said nothing. He said everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember what he said the week before?
Yeah,
because every time I saw some coming, I saw a guy arrive. He said, "I said I'm a comedian." Oh yeah, I'm on your show. You did 3, okay?
Yeah.
So what are you gonna talk about tonight? I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't know? Inspiration. He was very confident. I said, "Wow, man." You don't write anything. No. And I bring all my family. Whoa.
Yeah.
So, my good luck. The guy, I never saw a guy bombing like that, man. It was delicious. When he came back, I said, he said, I think I have to write stuff, huh? Yes.
Actually, when I did my first set there, I remember another reason why I was so confident was because there was this other friend of mine in the group of like 8 people that I brought who would tell me his jokes and he would write jokes all the time. And he's like, I'm gonna kill at the Comedy Works. And he would tell me the jokes over and over. And he'd tell us the jokes and all my friends would like laugh. And so he was super cocky. And then he went up like maybe like the third act and I remember him smoking a cigarette on stage. You know, like people...
Whoa, you smoke a real one?
Yeah, because you could smoke at the Comedy Works at that
point. Wow.
So, you know when someone's pretending to be comfortable?
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, like someone like leaning, comfortable.
Because now the new generation, they copy the style.
Yeah.
Now if you go, every time I saw open mic, I saw people, I said, wow, they have the attitude, you know, but they don't have the joke. Oh my God, yes. I'm so happy with the Pittsburgh Penguin. Make some noise for Tony Baldi.
Hey, Tony.
This is the owner.
Hey.
I always force him to come because I'm so grateful. He gave me the opportunity to do my podcast here at the Peroni.
Yeah.
This is the reason. Thank you. Merci,
Thank you, Tony.
Merci.
Here's a latte. Eh? Appreciate
latte it and me and a cappuccino, man.
Hey, appreciate
wow,
it.
Make some noise for all this Peroni. Merci, man. I know you're not comfortable, but I need to tell you thank you. You know what I mean? Because
I'm comfortable.
You show your face in the camera if you're comfortable. Yeah.
No, he's gone.
Man.
He's repelled out of a window.
Listen, life is so great because, you know.
I already
realized that, you know, if you never try, you will never know, okay? So, if you told me last year I will do a podcast interview comedian, I will never believe you. Because at the time, I was not ready, you know? And when I start to understand, like what is life, you know, because I struggle a lot trying stuff with my... I did vlog, you know, I did a lot of stuff. And I remember Gary Vee. Do you know Gary Vee?
Gary Vee
Van Schnuck is the guy, not a motivator, but he
Okay, yeah, I think I recognize that name.
Gary Vee, shout out to Gary Vee. He said someday something I will never forget. He said, stop trying to be somebody you're not. Try to be who you are. Because I was there when I was supposed to be here. I was doing Instagram picture.
Yeah.
I'm fat. I'm 45 years old, you know. Who care? Who wants to like
me? So he told you, like, bring it down a notch?
No. I realized that. I said, okay, so who I am? I'm not an Instagram guy. I'm not a controversial comedian like we're gonna wrote shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Try to find a job. And you know what I mean? I'm not on Facebook, you know, chill with my friend. Who are you? And I said, I'm a comedian, 45 years old. I'm proud. I'm not ashamed. Overweight. You know what I mean? It's why you say overweight? It's because I made picture of me on Instagram. Not sexy picture, but you know what I mean? Attitude, you know, look, I'm there. You know, who care? So I said, who are you? I said, I'm a comedian. I love comedy. I'm a passionate. I love other comedians. I love the story. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know? I think you have a genuine curiosity.
Every time do you have bad memory about me in your life? Did you ever talk shit about you in your back?
No.
Always encourage you every time, no matter.
Always one of the most positive. Yeah. It's like you had too many cappuccinos.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly. You know, it's true.
Yeah, but you know who, you know? Figuring out who, that's the worst.
So
that's the hardest thing.
I said, so I'm gonna do a podcast in English because I'm proud to be a Montrealer. I love Just for Laugh. You know, this is me. No, not her. Her is just
entice.
To put us better beautiful. You know what I mean? We are less we're less ugly. If I release that, I said, ugh. This is always like, why I love this podcast is because of Marilyn. I give you her, you know. You know, I said, I love Montreal. I'm proud to be in Montreal. I know we have great comic in Montreal. And you know what? I learned English 7 years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
So you know my background.
I remember being there.
You know, when you saw me started. Yeah. Now, and now I have a discussion with you and you understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said, do a podcast. So why I say that is because life will never give you something. You have to start, okay? If you watch my first 10 podcasts, it's weird. But you have to start somewhere. You have to make mistakes, adjust. You know what I mean? It's not perfect, by the way, now, but it's... I'm comfortable to show that to the people.
Yeah.
You know, because if I put a mic like that together, we're gonna know we talk about your life.
Yeah.
Now you forgot.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a mic. Sometimes when you rewatch, I'm there. But you're gonna forget some soon. You know, it's 42 minutes. You're already
we're
comfortable.
Talking,
You know what I mean? It's so I walk front the Sun Life building. And I saw him, and I said, hey man, I have a project. He said, oh yeah. I want to do a podcast, talk about comedy, you know. And I don't know where to do that. And I say, why you don't do that here? Mm-hmm. And now we are, you know what I mean? It's start something and everything's going to open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't think about something if you don't start. Nothing's going to happen. Start something and the rest is going to arrive.
Fall into place.
Exactly. Because I said, who I am to talk about comedy, you know? Who's gonna come? You know what I mean? I don't have any subscriber. It's, you know, it's not a channel. I restart at zero. Let's say now I think we are 89. It's about 89. It's 89. If you put 89 people here, do we have a show?
Yeah,
it's a great show.
Yeah, we'd have to kick.
So I have 89 now. For now, 89 fans who said, I want, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never said, I would like to do your show, but you know who's going to watch it? You know what I mean? Because it's a long project.
Yeah.
This is forever. You know what I mean? So, and now it's more than what I expected because I have 400 view, 300 view. Everybody talk about that. And I know it will be not popular because it's not a podcast for the big audience. It's for us, for the community. Because nobody... When I said nobody, it's in general. Nobody know you.
Mm-hmm.
So more we can talk about who you are and how you are amazing. You know what I mean? Do you like the picture I made to you?
Yeah.
Beautiful picture,
it was,
you know?
A good picture.
So I know I go everywhere. It's because I took coffee. I'm happy. I'm grateful. Be grateful in life was something. It was not popular in my life. I was like always like, when I'm going to be there,
something else.
When I'm going to be there, I'm going to be happy. And I realized it doesn't work like that.
You know what it is? I forget where I heard it, but it was like, you know, cheers. It's like this, because you want it to be a positive experience.
Yeah.
Like getting to that point, you want it to be like this, getting there, I want it to be as positive as possible. But then you're trying to force something to be positive, which makes it like a negative experience. You know, so like when you want to enjoy going there, so this is a good way of like enjoying the community and having the simplest thing.
Yeah, and you know it's
and
working.
It's sustainable.
Exactly, and you know why it's working now? Because it's me. I don't pretend. I'm not on Instagram. Look, click. This is the real me. Because this was another problem. It's not easy to be yourself and have your own opinion in a camera live. I'm not editing. I'm not comfortable to say that. I'm gonna release. No, it's raw. Fuck off. Yeah. You know, no BS with SB. Are you able to show who you are for real? And I said, yes, I am. But I have to make peace with me about what people's gonna think. And no matter what they're gonna think, they will never think what I thought they will think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said, when I do a podcast and I release it, it's done. I can't do anything.
Yeah, you put it into the universe.
Exactly. So it's why you accept. You know why you accept? Because you said, this guy, he never insult me, always encourage me.
Yeah.
It's why you say right away yes. And it's why everybody say yes. You know what I mean? Everybody want to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Of a small podcast. So I said, wow. You know what I mean? So I'm grateful. Because I realized to be who I am and not what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think I could be.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to do a video of muscle. What? Nobody's going to watch that, you know?
Yeah.
It's not me. I would love to have muscle. You know? But I don't have it. You know? Maybe someday. But my point is... to be here, talk, have this discussion right now with you.
Mm-hmm.
This, I saw that.
It's
I visualized
like your vision,
that in my past. And now it's there. It's weird. Do you understand what I said?
Yeah.
Like, did you have that, like, before to go on stage? Have the vision?
Like vision, yeah. I think that that's the thing that I just have always... I'm like a visual learning person.
Yeah, basically, you're a spiritual guy. You meditate 30 minutes every day.
Now it's a lot different than I was like. Like you're saying, being yourself. You're a 45-year-old guy.
Yeah.
You're comfortable with yourself.
Yes.
What about the 20-year-old guy who's like, it's an ego and like toxic masculinity and all that shit? That's when I was like, who am I? When I was doing comedy at that point in my life. And I'm like, who am I? And I did a show, so after those shows that we were talking about before, like when I like bombed there, I did a show.
Okay, so you bombed?
But then I did a show, I opened for this guy from the Philippines, Rex Navarrete, and he had like a huge, huge following.
Who?
Rex Navarrete.
Shout out to Rex Navarrete.
Yeah, and that was like almost 20 years ago that I met that guy.
Wow.
And he, like I did... 8 minutes in front at Concordia in front of like all my family and friends and stuff like that, and it was after that moment that I was like, I don't have to do stand-up anymore.
What do you mean?
Because it
okay.
Doing stand-up, like I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't sleep. I was like, I don't think I could do this with my life.
Wow.
So I stopped, and I stopped going to the Comedy Works, and it was like 3 years after that where I was like, no, I'm like not gonna go back. I'm never. The butterflies in my stomach I get from even thinking about standing up in front of people again.
So the third show, you said it's not for
me. Yeah, third show, I'm like, I'm done. I'm never going to do this.
Wow.
Again. Yeah.
So why did you come back? What's happened? Is this somebody who said, hey, I saw you, why you stopped, blah, blah, blah?
3 years later, there was... There was these girls who went...
Wow, you wait three years.
Yeah.
Three years, the ego was strong, eh?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I was going to school, and I was like, oh, you know, people telling me, like, get a job, blah, blah, blah.
And
like,
you
oh,
bombed from your family, your mother, your father was there?
I didn't bomb at that show.
So, okay.
I did well.
Okay.
But then I was like...
But it was too painful.
Yeah, it was too painful to get
for
there.
The reward.
Yeah. I was like,
wow.
I don't know if this is worth it in my life. This is the... I was like, I did a show in front of all these people. If I stop right now, I'm
oh,
like,
I finished
happy.
Strong.
Yeah, I finished strong.
Yeah, it was happy. A great project.
Yeah, exactly. But then I go to school, I get a job. Like I remember working at a bank, and I'm like,
ugh.
And then that happens for 3 years.
Ugh.
And then, So these girls that saw me in front of at Concordia with Rex in front of all those people, they were like, "We're holding a fundraiser. Can you do like 5 minutes?" And one of my friends, like my child, Dan Bingham. I don't know if you remember.
I know. And shout out to Dan. I mean, it's weird. Like all life, the comedy always came back in your life for no reason. Eh? What is the chance she saw you there? What is that? 3 years ago, when you're in a world of bank, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And she, hey, I want to do 5 minutes, and you should say, no, ST, I'm a banker, you know. And but inside something happened, huh?
Inside, I was like, at that moment, and it was like 2 months later, you know. She's like, I'm doing this thing in like 2 months, and I was like, I thought about it. I remember Facebook. It was like when Facebook first started, so I like kind of like was like. I read it, and then I went to work.
This is the face when I go shit, by the way.
And then I was like, I remember being at the counter, and I was like, I don't know if there's anything in my life that would give me that same feeling. I've been searching for things that would give me that same feeling of being on stage in front of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do it.
Yeah, but man, don't go there. You don't need to go there, because it's in 2 months. This is why it's weird, because you said for the feeling, you she just asked you a question
and immediately
she never said like, is it possible to change my $100 bill for $520? You know, no, I have a fundraiser in two months,
yeah,
60 day, okay, can you do a 5 minute?
And it freaks. But you know that adrenaline just immediate.
Immediately.
Yeah. And I'm like, what else in my life would that ever...
Yeah. And so you say yes?
I said yes.
Why?
Because I knew them. Like, they were like family friends of mine from when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you...
But immediately I was like, oh, you know, I'll do it for them.
Okay.
And...
Did you start right away when you got the money to someone, remember your stuff?
Yeah, right away I was like, oh, I need to take note of all of the things that I'm doing.
The handicapped kids.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh man.
So what did you do? You came back in open mic?
I waited the 2 months.
Why you do this to yourself?
Because I don't know what I'm doing. I was like I was an idiot. I was like a 26-year-old idiot.
So what's happened in the 2 months? How did you feel like if I was a co-worker with you, okay, I'm sitting just beside on you.
Yeah.
And after that, you say yes. What I will saw differently in your 2 months life?
I think that in my regular life.
Impatient?
Yeah, and I'd get weird. Like,
hungry?
No,
angry?
Not that. I would be quieter.
Okay.
I would be more in my head.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't... I'd have problems like eating. Like, I'd be like, I have no appetite. Even with thinking about it in the middle of eating a burger,
no appetite,
I'd be like,
in the 2 months?
Yeah. Every time I think about it, I'd be like, oh my God, why am I doing
no
this?
So no erection?
No, I think that it was the opposite. I was like, I need to
a lot
jerk off or like have sex all the time.
To relax.
To get the anxiety out.
Wow.
Yeah. And at that point, I remember, I was like...
When she asked you to get married?
It's all the same, but it's all that same energy, you know? Like,
so
that anxiety like that.
So let's go there.
Yeah.
5 minutes. Let's go
there. The 5 minute.
What's happened?
So, I remember, so it was at this like little bar on Saint Laurent, and there was like a heat, like a little lamp, instead of like a...
a real one?
Instead of a real like spotlight, they had this like little lamp.
It's like egg roll lamp?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Very hot?
Yes. Ugh. And at my house, I had a lizard. So, when I saw that, I thought like, oh my God, I'm going to be like a lizard.
Yeah.
So, my immediate joke... was like I walked up and I was like, yo, this makes me feel like I'm my lizard in a cage.
Wow,
and I was like, if you guys, I'll give you a visual. So I just like stayed at the wall. And I had the microphone in my hand, I stayed at the wall, and people were laughing.
Can you throw me a fly, please?
Yeah, exactly. And I waited. I waited in the silence of it, and nothing happened, and then everyone laughed.
Wow.
And then in that moment, I was like, I'm never going to stop doing this for the rest of my life. So I was like, oh, I realized how life was without it. And then I was like, yo, okay.
And you know why? It's not because of this night. It's because of the guy, the cocky guy, who decide to go there.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize, but the first show is the most important.
Yeah.
Because it's not because people tend. If I was bombing the first show, I will never do that comedy again. Said, no, you don't understand. No matter if you bomb or if you kill, doesn't mean anything because it's because a lot of people who kill, they never came back in comedy.
Yeah.
But they kill. A lot of people who bomb. It's to see if you're stronger.
Yeah.
Enough to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to kill one night, but kill every night, every time, in any kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
this is another job, you know what I mean? But this guy, the cocky guy, you know what I mean? Who, and by the way, everybody do the same thing. Eh?
Yeah.
We always pretend like, why I quit 3 years?
Yeah.
I quit 3 years, me. And I was more far than you in my career.
Okay, yeah.
But I listened to many people tell me
what to do and where you should
exactly.
be.
And, yeah. So. But for the moment where we are at the corporate, the 5 minute, you did something you never did before. You listen yourself.
Yeah.
The voice inside say, you know what? It's feel like I'm a lizard in my home, and you did it. You could have another voice that, hey, don't do that. You're gonna be a moron if you do that.
Yeah.
You know what? And he said, no. I think it's funny. You start to believe.
You trust yourself.
And you know, yeah. And it's in the situation very stress, look.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you went there and you assume it, the joke. And you said, I take my time.
Yeah.
And the laugh arrived. So already now, you know, it's gonna be.
Yeah, immediate, like, it's. It happens too now. Like, you know when you get that first laugh and you're just like, ah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
All right. It's like you said to your ego, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thanks, but I control the rest.
Yeah, I got it.
And you kill.
Yeah.
And you said, do you remember, is it after this joke or between the set or after the set? You said, I will never quit this job anymore.
No, it was during that moment when I had my hands on the wall. I was like, I'm never going to stop doing this.
Wow.
And I knew my set was gonna do well.
Yeah, no.
So you know, I didn't worry.
You're rusty, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You're rusty, and you did not practice.
Yeah.
In the 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So after that, this what years is?
This is, I guess that was like 2006 or 2000. Yeah, so I guess 11 years later.
Wow.
Or what? No, more than that. Oh fuck! Like 13 years later.
13 years later.
Yeah.
Still enjoy comedy?
I do.
What is your big achievement in comedy for you?
My biggest
personal
achievement?
Maybe not important for me or other, but for you, you know, like maybe just for laugh, maybe a big corporate, maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe you did for the first time 45 minutes, and you know what I mean? Something like...
Well, you know, I did 40...
Did you headline at the Comedy Works before you burned?
No, I didn't.
Never.
I didn't.
So you middle?
Yeah, I middled and I hosted.
So
yeah.
But never headline.
I never headline.
Co-headline? Did you co-headline?
I did one co-headlining, yeah.
Maybe you could be a great goal.
Yeah.
For at the Nest.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. Even Absolute or anywhere. I did like 48 minutes recent, like a couple months ago.
No way, where?
Like in, as a bike shop.
Whoa, you're not scared?
Yeah, I wasn't. But you know, like, it's funny, like, maybe my, I think that it's internally, I internalize a lot of the feelings that I have when I'm on stage.
Me too.
You know, and I really feel like as much as I just try to connect with people, I try to just be there, right there in that moment. You know, like even when you're telling a joke and it's killing, but your brain is like four jokes ahead. You're like,
oh, I know, yeah.
They're going to love
that. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, it's
but
like,
this is experience, by the way. Huh? You can't arrive there if you need a lot of show.
Yeah.
And sweat and struggling.
Yeah.
To realize that, okay, no matter where I am in my life,
yeah,
I will never satisfy that who I am, big or because I did a lot of show in the past in a shitty place to take the money.
Yeah.
And I said I do it because I need money, but I did not enjoy the show because it was a shitty place.
Yeah.
And I said when I'm gonna be there, you know, I will not go back. And I was in a bad attitude.
Yeah.
Like, no, the show is now. The
yeah.
success is now. The reward is now. It's not in 2 years when Just for Life is going to recognize you. No. It's now. And you're right. And I am It's because I listen to many people.
Yeah, we
I
get compare, caught up in all
I
that
compare
shit.
Too many. Why am I supposed to be happy? I'm in Cornwall in a golf. Doing a couple. You know why? Because it's you.
Yeah.
It's your life. It's now. It's not like it's made. But took me years and times to understand that.
Because we put all this pressure on ourselves, you know? Like,
yeah, you're never happy.
Never happy. And there's so many... So, like, I work with a lot of comics, like, older comics. I like to listen to the shit that they talk about, you know? And, like, how they are in just their normal lives.
The young new comic is going to watch you and going to learn a lot of stuff.
I'm that, like, middle ground, like... I feel like my comedy is like slow cooker comedy. Like I really feel like the 37-year-old Paul is gonna be different from like the 45-year-old Paul, and the comedy is gonna, you know, and I'm different than when I was 7 years ago, you know, and things are just always gonna be evolving, and it's about just being like part of it.
Yeah.
So I see these older comics and I'm like, wow, you know, I see one who's like in their 60s and like has a good life and has like kids and a dog and is a good person.
Yeah.
And then you see the person who's like in his 60s, who's like doesn't talk to anyone in his life, is angrily calling Bell on the phone, like, no, because they charge him $6 too much. And then you hear it, we're like in this comedy condo and you hear them in the other room, and he's like, fucking $6. That's a real thing. Like, and I was like, man, some people are just fucking miserable.
Yeah, they would never be happy. And you're right. I don't say I was never happy in the past, but I was very competitive.
Yeah.
And I realized that the only competition I have to do is with myself.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't have the same path, the same journey, the same goal, you know,
same
style. You know what I mean? So just be happy for the other one when you have a success.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's why I always do that in my life. You know, sometimes I was jealous, but I never said, when I'm jealous, I said, I'm jealous in a good sense. Good for you, man. But now I realize that if I'm jealous for the other one, okay, example, and I put myself in the same situation, I said, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do what he did to win there.
Yeah.
So why I'm jealous? I'm jealous just because he's there. But what he did to go there, I don't want to, you know, I'm not able, you know. So I said, it's stupid to be jealous about something.
It's a waste of energy.
And now I travel so much. I did everything I want to do. Now I just enjoy where I am now. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And share our struggle, our hustle, you know. So for now, 2019, 2020, you have to push yourself all the time.
Yeah.
So what is your next goal? What is your next motivation? Yeah. Do you want to do Zoo Fest just for laugh?
Yeah. I would love to rent a small theater. Yeah. I was thinking about renting a small theater before. It's funny. Like, you're talking about scaling things back. Because I realized that there was a void in my life after the Comedy Works where I didn't have that comfortable space. So I put together a show in my living room.
I think I remember that.
New Year's Eve, I had a party and there was like maybe 40, 50 people at my condo in St. Henry.
I hope you have a great brick wall.
Yeah, no, we do. Okay. We have a brick wall. I have a, like a curtain.
No, wall. I mean a solid wall.
Oh, yeah, no.
So the people don't understand. How are you, everybody?
It is. There's people who live like upstairs from us who they use it as a jam space. With, like,
you never heard that?
Okay. It's an industrial building.
So you do your show front 40 people. Did they pay at the door?
So I do pay what you can.
Okay.
And I think that maybe we do a bit better than if we got people paying at the door. But
wow. So so you pay your rent like that now?
It wouldn't be a...
So how it was?
It's amazing.
Wow. How long did
you... I'm very comfortable. I've done four.
Four times?
Yeah, we've done it four times.
Okay.
And you know, we're saying like... my wife like supporting me and stuff like that. Because I was looking for a venue in the area because I'm like, nothing happens in this area. And I want a place selfishly where I could be comfortable enough to just run my own show and do the jokes that I,
you
know, that I want to write. And we're looking at all these places. And at that same time, we had a party. In the middle of me looking for places, we had a party at our place and there's like 50 people. And I was like, ugh. I have this wedding company, so I have lights, we have speakers, we have way too much of the production stuff, like soundboard and everything. So I was like, we had 50 people there. I'm like, oh, I could so do it. I could destroy it, a show right here.
So you have a sound system?
Yeah, we have a full stage.
Do you rent your sound
full
system?
Full sound? No, I have it.
No, I mean, do you rent it if I want, if I need one?
Yeah, if you
okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about that later because I need one.
We have setups for like 150, 250, 350 people, like sound and lights.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So
we're just in my house,
man.
So I made a green screen,
and you can sell beer after.
Yeah.
At $3, it's cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we're getting some like corporate sponsorship and stuff like that.
But
as
this
well.
Why you don't promote that?
Because.
Why you don't do a picture? A poster?
No, we do. I have a poster that I drew myself.
You have a picture?
Yeah.
So it's like what you on in your couch with your mic?
Yeah. Yes.
I show me that.
No, here.
Wow. So it's so you do that like two a year?
No, I've been doing since the first one we did in June. So June, July, August.
No.
And now this is the fourth one.
No way. Yeah. Every month.
Every month.
Man, bravo, man.
Thanks.
You do your own stuff. You don't wait about people.
Yeah, exactly.
So who gave you this flash?
So here, that's just a picture of that's just a background. It's my little
so
dog.
This is the what is
that? The big comfy comedy show. Right? Yeah. And we have that happening every month.
Wow.
And I have maybe like 20 or 30 regulars.
How many couches you have?
We have enough couches.
Wow.
So it's good.
So why, and you should it's you all the time?
Yeah, I just hosted.
They pop by you out.
The big comfy comedy show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
in St. Henry. Cool. And it's just the same concept as this.
I live in Griffintown.
Yeah, that's
so
not
St. Henry,
far.
It's not too far. Yeah. And you're right, nothing's there. Yeah.
There's nothing there.
So this is your ultimate goal every month. Wow.
As long as we're saying, like, you know, it's something feasible that you could do every month, it's like easy and like that's what it is.
Are you happy where you are in comedy from now?
Right now, I think that maybe it's just getting married, going through all these things. I'm just really happy in life, like with everything. Like I always think about changing stuff because I'm like, but then I'm like, you know, like I make more than enough money to live.
Yeah.
Comedy just goes well. I keep writing new material all the time, and I'm really like not stressed about stuff. My health, my family's like happy. I'm a little chihuahua.
I have a chihuahua.
I know. We have
Chico.
That in common. Yeah.
I have Gizmo, a Sheltie.
Okay.
And a chihuahua, Chico.
Yeah, it's
9 years old and 10 years old.
Oh.
Very healthy, very
they
happy.
They get along? How are the chihuahua's teeth?
Beautiful.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Because that's always the worry about their teeth. It's because then when they get older, their teeth fall out. And then, you know, they have like the tongue hanging out.
I didn't know.
As long as they're eating like hard food, they're okay.
Oh yeah, they eat a lot of cheese and bacon. Well, I have some stick.
Okay, yeah.
I try to give them one of 3 days so they can clean the teeth, you know, and exercise.
Yeah.
Because you know what I realized when they walk a lot, when they move a lot, they don't care after about around us.
Yeah.
And they don't because I live in a condo, so it's so complicated to have two dogs. Get out of a condo, elevator go down.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's the project about that, you know what I mean? But I love them, and I know that more you give attention, more they give you back. More, you know what I mean? You have one dog?
Yeah, I have one dog.
And a chihuahua.
Very, yeah.
They take place. They know they.
Well, she's.
Nice again?
Yeah. My other dog was a husky.
Whoa!
So, like.
You beat me.
High maintenance, and like, I used to run. He had seizures.
Okay.
So
seizure salad?
No, it was the saddest thing.
Sorry.
Well, no,
I put a shot of coffee and a lot of sugar.
No, but it was sad. Like,
not a husky in a condo.
No, so that was with my parents.
Okay.
But like, I had to run him, so I would run him 5 days a week so he wouldn't have seizures.
Wow.
So like very high maintenance, and now Chihuahua like shits in the house.
Shit in the balcony.
Yeah, no, low maintenance.
Yeah. So
everything's chill in my life. I'm very like chilled out.
So you're now you're happy.
Yeah.
You don't want to change anything.
No, well, I'm looking to tour a bit more. I think that I'm gonna try to get into like Western Canada on an annual basis. And,
okay.
You know, and then go across Canada every year.
Do you have a website for your
yep.
your left? Comedy Night?
No, 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 no.
Because this is personal?
Yeah, the Loft Comedy Night?
It's not Roger and Sylvie arrive with the six-pack.
Yeah, exactly. No, no, no. They can.
They can?
But I try to like vet the people that are coming.
I know, but if somebody are interested about that, what they do?
Yeah, message me on Facebook. You go to message
You don't
me.
Have a website? You don't have a
Paul,
page?
PaulBComedy.com.
Okay.
From my website, I promote
Paul B.
PaulBComedy.com. Oh, yeah. Easier than getting
Paul Body out.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to figure that out.
So what do you think about the expo? Do you think the expo are back?
No.
You don't believe it?
I don't believe it.
Because they talk about that every year. They do a preseason game at the Olympic Stadium, you know, with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
You don't think this is bullshit?
Yeah, I don't.
Do you like baseball?
I did when the Expos were.
So you saw the
but
Expo?
But since then,
you saw the Expo?
Yeah. I remember going in their last season. I went a lot.
Wait, hot dog was $1.
Yeah, exactly.
$5 and $3.
Yeah. But before that, like.
Yeah. If they come back, you're going to. Because they want to build a stadium in
the. Isn't it
Griffin
Town?
Yeah, where the Costco is after the bridge. So, but if they come back, you're gonna jump.
I'd go and see them if they did come back.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I'm cynical about it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's too much of a hockey town.
No, it's summer. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's never at the same time.
But there's
it's not the Nordic.
There's all the festivals too.
You know what I mean? When they don't make the playoff, Expo start.
Yeah.
And it's a great team to not make the playoff.
Yeah.
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 You don't know.
No, the
Montreal?
Yeah. The,
they never make the playoff. Do you think they're going to make the playoff this year?
They had a really good preseason.
Yes.
But they always have a fucking
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody. So do you have hope they're going to make the playoff?
Do I hope that they're going to make the playoff?
Yes. Is it something for you important?
No.
Not anymore?
The only thing that changes is when they're in the playoffs, people are like not going to be at a comedy show.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing. That's when I start paying attention.
So you never enjoy the Canadian in your life. Never be a big fan.
I did when I was a kid. I was a big fan, but I love I'm a huge basketball fan.
So you're basketball.
Yeah, basketball, and then everything else is like.
Okay, so it's basketball. So when Toronto Raptor wins, you jump.
Yeah, it was a crazy year last year.
So nothing after. It's just basketball, curling.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
curling,
hockey, baseball.
Curling, baseball, hockey.
So you don't care? You don't think?
No,
playoff.
Not really. Man, I don't know. I think it's good for the city.
It's always good
when
if we have baseball. Imagine the Montreal's going to be back in the map of the world.
Yeah.
With the baseball team.
They could well
with the best logo ever, man. And you know what? Are you not? They left us in 2004.
I just realized that you have two.
Yeah. Not three.
Oh, there you go.
Man, I want to thank you so much to take time to come here, talk about who you are. You're an amazing human being. You're an amazing comedian. And it's why I did that, because I want to show to the people who you are. Don't give up. And I hope someday you're going to do a comedy night love with other comedian, not just you. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be pumped to do 5 minutes.
No, you're there, man.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna let you know.
Merci beaucoup, man.
Thanks, Sébastien, man. He's the best.
Thanks, buddy. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go see your beautiful small comedy night and your beautiful couch.